Well, here we are in 2015. How many thought you'd never make it to 2015? How many never really thought about it? Yeah, that would be me. But Happy New Year to you. I'm excited about starting a new message series with you. I'm entitling it Getting Past Your Past. As we start this morning, I need to give you an idea of what we'll be talking about over the next few weeks, and because I believe that God really wants to do something supernatural through His church, and you are the church, and He wants to work in you and through you, and I encourage you over these weeks to also invite your personal world. In fact, this morning I received two testimonies, not only Cindy's, but Edie Voss also came and shared with me another neighbor that she invited that came and that is hungering and thirsting. And so I'm asking you, get your personal world involved in what your personal world is about, because your personal world is about Jesus, and they need to know that. And if we can be a help in serving with different activities and ministry, that's what we're here to do. We're here to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. And we've got a lot of work of ministry to do. Amen? Over the next 4 weeks, though, I want to share with you this series, because I think there's far too many Christians that are held in bondage in their past. And not only just sinners, but Christians, we get caught there. For a lot of people, they feel betrayed, lied to, hurt by family, hurt by friends. And unfortunately, they're still carrying bitterness in their life and resentment, unforgiveness in their hearts. And so next week, I want to move to a topic that biblically and spiritually we need to institute into our lives, and that is forgiveness. Church, we're not only going to look at what the Bible says, but we want to put it into action. Amen? So when the Bible says forgive, in fact, Jesus teaches us, Lord, forgive me as I forgive. Church, this is something that we need to activate into our lives. So next week, we're going to be talking about forgiveness. A week three, because many times we struggle with the idea that we're the victim. You know what I'm talking about? Our world has this victim mentality. Well, I'm going to talk to you as the church about taking responsibility for your own actions, about taking responsibility for your own wrongdoings and relationships, and talk about how we can restore those relationships. And I believe that God can teach us how to apologize in the right way, in the right times. The Bible actually has a lot to say about that, and I believe that He can heal parent and child relationships. He can heal sibling relationships. He can restore marriages and friendships and make them healthier than they've ever been. He can do that if we hear His word and choose to live it. Amen? You're not liking the message series so far. The last week, I want to talk about how do we get past our own failure, our own mistakes. See, many of us believe that God has forgiven us, but we can't forgive ourselves. We have a struggle getting past our past. So we're going to talk about the Word of God and how we can break through all of this. And today I want to talk about breaking the labels of the past. You know, what does that mean? Well, there's many of us, somewhere in our past, you were called something or you were characterized by some title in some way. And many begin to believe that lie about themselves that wasn't true. And too many people are living under the labels of the past. And I don't believe that God really desires for us to be labeled or live according to those labels that people have given us. Because you need to see how God sees you today. And I believe that God can do a work in us and we can overcome and break those labels that have been put upon us. So let me get started this way and give you kind of a well-known person, and you help me complete the blank, okay? Here it is. Let me start with this one. How about Attila the Hun? He was a leader of the Huns, and that's what he became known as. Not just the Hun, but he was the leader, and that's what he was known. How about this one? Popeye the... You know that one. Eat your spinach, all right? And I tell you what, I love to let everybody eat my spinach. It's not a problem. From the Old West, we have Billy the Kid. Young Adults, there's a TV show from the past, and I know none of you ever watched this, but probably know this title as Buffy the... You don't even want to say that in church, do you? And of course, all of us love Winnie the... How would you like to be known as Pooh? Really kind of like, what are we teaching our children? All these different people and characters have a label behind their name. As I look at my own life, there were some labels that were placed upon me, and because of my speech impediment early on in life, I was labeled dumb. In fact, a big word that was used back in my day is retarded, and I was considered slow. Later on in high school, though, I was labeled a goody two-shoes. Now, it might sound good, but coming from your peers, it made me not want to be a goody two-shoes. You know, that's all you hear. My name also lent itself to a few rhymes. One of them was Brooks the Crook. I don't know any reason that name meant anything other than it rhymed. But the most famous one for me really growing up was Babbly Brooks. That's what I heard a lot. And I'll leave that one out for debate today, okay? But what I'd like you to think about for a moment is what negative label maybe has followed your name or preceded your name? What negative label have you maybe attached yourself to and has followed you? Maybe some of you have been labeled a doormat. Your kindness, you've been nice, but you let people walk all over you. Maybe you're a doormat. Maybe you've been called the lazy one. How many have ever called your children lazy? Just me, a few of us. Maybe irresponsible. Maybe that's been a term. Maybe you were a hothead. Maybe you were a party girl or a wild guy. And people said, you'll never settle down. Maybe it just you're the average one. You're just average. You're not really great at anything. You're not horrible, but you're not great, so you're labeled average. Whatever that label is, I want you to listen to God's word today. And beyond any negative label that has ever been applied to your life, I want you to hear God's word this morning, and I pray that you will really hear this statement today, that God's power is always bigger than your past. Can you say that with me this morning? God's power is always bigger. Say it one more time. God's power. If you have a label, maybe that's truthful, and you truthfully deserve it, in many ways it may be true about you, but what you need to understand this morning is what's true about you today does not have to be true about you tomorrow. I believe with all my heart that God can break through the labels of the past. Let me start, though, with a passage of Scripture found in 2 Corinthians 5. Paul is teaching this church in a second letter how to live. And I want you to hear this carefully, verse 16. 2 Corinthians 5, 16. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. Pause for a moment. Not only hearers of the word, but doers. Church, we have to stop evaluating people from a human perspective. This is what we've learned. This is what we're growing in Christ. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. That's where the world sees him. How could he save us? If he came and he was a man, how could he do this? But church, Paul is teaching us how differently we know him now, right? Because we understand by faith what he did. Verse 17, though. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ, now I want you to catch this, that means anyone. It doesn't matter who you are, what you've done, where you come from, how bad your past is, how true the label is about you. It doesn't matter who you are. Anyone who belongs to Christ. That means you've repented of your sins. You are now submitted to the lordship of Jesus in your life. And this says, this means anyone who belongs to Christ has become a, and everybody say it out loud with me, anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person, or another translation says a new creation. It goes on to say the old life, say this with me, the old life is, and what has happened? Say it with gusto. And a new life has begun. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that we will not only hear your word this morning, but we'll become doers. The old life is gone, and the new life has come. We no longer evaluate people from a human perspective. But Lord, help us to hear from your word today a God perspective, a God viewpoint. Open our hearts so that we can have the label of Christ on us and fulfill what you've called us to do. And everybody in agreement, say amen. 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 I want to give you real briefly three thoughts that I believe can help us in getting past the labels of the past. Number one is simply this. God will give you a new name. I want you to hear what God says in Isaiah 62:2. He says, the nations, he's talking to Israel, but he's talking to his people. He said, the nations will see your righteousness. World leaders will be blinded by your glory, and you will be given a new name by the Lord's own mouth. This morning, many have been held back by something that you believed by what others have called you. But you need to know that our Lord bestows a new name upon you. It's a little bit like girls when they're in a dating relationship and the girl really likes the guy and kind of sees a future in it. She will take her first name and his last name, put them together on a piece of paper with a heart over it with X's and O's all over it. Is it? Come on. In fact, my father-in-law tells the story of my wife, and they were on a plane trip, and they were on the plane, and before we were married, she was writing her first name and then my last name behind it. And of course, McElhaney takes a lot more practice than Benson, which is her maiden name. So she had to learn McElhaney. And I'm not even sure I know how to say it anymore. Down south, it was McElhaney. Up here, it's McElhenney. So it is whatever you want to call it. But she was doing this because she was about to have a new name. In a much higher way, in fact, no comparison at all, God wants to replace your old title with a new name. And he did this many times in Scripture. And let me give you a few of my favorite examples. And one is a couple named Abram and Sarai. They wanted nothing more than to have children, but they couldn't until God moved and intervened in their lives and said, you're going to have so many ancestors that you can't count them. And to prove it, God gives them new names. This is the names. Abram, which meant noble father, becomes Abraham, father of many. Sarai, which meant princess, becomes Sarah, mother of nations. God gave them new names to redefine who they were. Not just the old names. Princess says you remain a princess. You'll never be part of a kingdom, never be able to be a part of anything. And God says, wait a minute, your name is more than princess. Your name is mother of nations. There's Abraham's grandson whose name is Jacob, and he really needs a name change. Jacob meant deceiver, trickster, or swindler. But God gave him a new name after he wrestled with God. He changed his name to Israel. Israel comes from the Hebrew words listrot, which wrestle, and El, God. To wrestle with God, and man prevailed in that, in the sense of God, in fact, made him a prince with him. Another name you can read about is in Judges chapter 6. This is a man who's kind of afraid. His name is Gideon. He's hiding out in enemy caves, and God sends an angel to him and says, the Lord is with you, mighty man of valor. God, while he's hiding, God calls him a mighty warrior. But Gideon wasn't a mighty warrior at first, but he grew into the name that God gave him, just like the others did. God will give you a new name, and what you've been labeled by in the past And all of that, when God gives you a new name, you don't need to say, well, I can't do that. God will help you grow into what he calls you. In fact, for all believers this morning, he's given us a new name, that you are forgiven. You are forgiven. And some people say, well, I didn't feel that at first. But you grew into your name as you grew to know who God is and how much he loves you. Because God is not a liar, church, and he said you're forgiven and all your sins are gone. Amen. For some of you, God is going to give you the name Overcomer. Your whole life, people have said, you'll never make it, you'll never overcome. But God gives you this name to overcome whatever it is. And you can grow into that name. In fact, you are more than a conqueror, church. Some of you as mothers may feel inadequate as a mom today. And you feel like, I just don't measure up. I'm not as good as them. And God is saying, no, you're a spiritual mom. You have what it takes. God will grow you into that name. Others of you, God is calling you to a spiritual leader. That's your name today. And you will lead your family. You will lead your friends to Jesus. As a spiritual leader, you may need to be teaching one of our Sunday school classes. Or maybe you need to be teaching a new believer's class. Or maybe working with children or youth and helping them to know Jesus better because you're a spiritual leader. Church, you are a spiritual leader. The world is looking to you. Many of you have been labeled by things in the past, but you do not have to believe what others say about you. You need to believe who God says you are. He gives us a new name. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. But with that, secondly, comes not only a new name, but a new purpose. God will give you a new purpose. One of the best examples of this is a guy named Simon. He could have been labeled undependable, maybe wishy-washy in his life, but Jesus meets Simon and says, oh, you're a fisherman, and you've been fishing for fish. I'm going to give you a new purpose. For the rest of your life, you're going to fish for people. In other words, you're going to be a world changer. You're going to be an evangelist, and I'm going to take you and give you a new purpose, and you're going to do great things that you never thought you could do. And by the way, along with this new purpose and the new name, God gave him a new identity. At one time, Jesus comes to Simon and says, basically, who do people label me like? Who do people say that I am? And of course, Simon responds and says, some say you're this and that. Some call you Elijah. Some call you John the Baptist. And Jesus looked at Simon and said, but who do you say that I am? And Simon answered, I say you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus replies to him in Matthew 16, verse 17. Jesus replied and said, you are blessed. Church, these are things that God, you need to hear God speaking to you. You are blessed. When you said, Jesus, come into my heart, you are Lord of my life, you are the Son of God, you are blessed. You are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. Verse 18, now I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock. Jesus changes his name in this scenario. And he's saying, you're no longer undependable. Simon meant reed. It would bend too easy, and the wind and the waves would toss it about. But he says, you're no longer Simon, you're Peter. You're a rock. And he goes on and says, upon this rock I'll build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. Now, some of you may or may not know Peter's full story. Peter was not a rock from that day forward. Wouldn't you like him to give you a name and then you're just, everything changes? It didn't happen for Peter. In fact, nothing close to it. He messed up again and again. He was growing into his new name, growing into his new purpose. In fact, Peter actually denies knowing Jesus, not once, but three times. But after the resurrection, Jesus restores him and forgives him. And on the day of Pentecost, guess who God chooses as the guest speaker for that day? Peter, the rock. The one who knew, listen to this for a moment, the one who knew what it was like to fail and be forgiven. The one who is best qualified to stand up and say, repent, sinners, and turn to Christ, and you'll be saved. You see, he had to walk and grow into his name so he could speak the truth. On that day, though, Peter, the rock, led 3,000 people to Christ and launched the beginning of the New Testament church. See, God will give us a new name, and with that name comes a new purpose in our life. And you grow into that new name and that new purpose. And out of your weakness of the past, God can raise up the greatest strength for your future. You see, the old babbling Brooks is now standing here proclaiming the truth of God's word. And it can change the future of those who desire to know him. Don't let the labels of your past define you or deter you from what God wants to do in your life. Number three, simply, God will give you also a new future. There's a lot of people who are pessimistic about their future. My life's not going anywhere. As they enter the new year, they're like, I'm never going to be anything. I'm always going to be alone. I'm always going to be miserable. I'm always going to be in debt. I'm always going to be in a battle. And that's where they live. And on they go. Listen to what God tells us and reminds us in Jeremiah 29:11, and you know it. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope. And everybody say that last phrase with me. And a future. I want you to hear a story from God's word, probably one of the best stories in the Bible. It's a story of a lady who had a label, probably one of the worst labels, even in our culture today, that you could imagine having. Her name is mentioned in eight different places in the Bible, and five out of the eight times, there's a label with her name. In fact, in the entire New Testament, when she's mentioned, it's mentioned with the label. And the label is this, Rahab the prostitute. Rahab the harlot. Sadly, her label was true. She was a prostitute and probably felt that no one could ever really love her and she might never find out what love was. She probably felt she could never have a good marriage because of what she had. But a story happens in her life and there's some spies that show up at her house from Israel. And she started hearing about the stories of God's people. And the Bible tells us in Joshua chapter 2, verses 10 and 11, Rahab is speaking to the spies that are at her house. And she says, we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt. And what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. In verse 11, when we heard of it, our hearts melted in fear, and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on earth below. Rahab had these two spies from Israel at her place. She hid them at the risk of her own life. She could have died if she would have been caught doing what she did. But this prostitute became in many ways the savior of these two spies, which foreshadows what is about to happen in her life to come. You see, she got to know God. She became a new person and ended up getting a new name. She married a God-fearing man named Salmon of the tribe of Judah. She had a great marriage with this man, and when nobody else thought it was possible, God was giving her a new purpose. And later, she becomes the mother of Boaz. And with her new name came this new purpose, and the new purpose had a new future. In fact, here's what God did through Rahab, the prostitute. She had a great, 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 in fact, many times over, great grandson whose name happens to be Jesus Christ, the Son of God, born to take away the sins of the world. Out of Rahab, the prostitute, came Jesus, the Savior of the world. Don't you dare let anyone put you in a box and put a label on it, declaring what you cannot do. Because by the power of Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit, you can get past your past. Because God wants to bestow upon you a new name, a new purpose, and a new future. Pastor Matt, would you come? As we enter this new year, I have a challenge for you. And the challenge is this. We've said it over and over. I know Pastor Grant has said it. I've said it. And I just reiterate it over and over. We've got, as he puts it, we got to get back in the Word. We got to meditate upon the Word. We've got to put the Word into action in our life. There are spiritual disciplines, and two of them we do pretty well. Maybe okay, wherever you're at in your walk. But there's three spiritual disciplines that Jesus mentions. And one of them is, of course, giving. And we give unto the Lord, and we give what belongs to Him. Praying is another one. And fasting is the third. The church, I don't know that we really take to heart the Word of God and do what we've been told to do. And I want to encourage us as we enter this new year to not just be hearers of the Word, but doers. You give, you pray, but Jesus says, when you fast. And I'm asking you, and I'm kind of calling us to a fast through January. Now, you say, what does that mean? And I'll be honest, I didn't put some tools together for us today, but we're going to have some for next week to help you. If you say, well, I don't really know what to do, what's the benefits, and how does all this play itself out? I want to help you grow in that, but there's several ways to fast. There's a complete fast. That's just that you don't have drink or food at all, and you can do that for a short amount of time. And in fact, it's amazing. I had a procedure. I'm 50 years old, and there's a procedure that was required, and one of the parts of that is they wanted me to fast. It's amazing. This is what really kind of prompted me, because I went 42 hours in a fast for this thing, and I did it for a medical purpose, and it made me begin to think, Lord, I don't want to miss the spiritual purposes of fasting. I'll do it for this, for my physical health. But what are we doing about our spiritual health? Church, I want to teach you and show you. And we've got to take the Word of God and put it into action in our life. And I'm calling you to fast. There's a partial fast. Maybe that's just where you don't have anything but drink. You can have something to drink. But there are, or the Daniel fast, where it's just fruits and vegetables and things of that nature. I'm not trying to tell you what to do or how to do it, because the Holy Spirit will lead you. But I think when you do it, when, I believe God can do great things. You say, but let me add this caveat to it. I don't want you just to do it to do it. I want you to have a purpose behind it. One is, pray for the church. Pray that God would just show up in a mighty way. Lord, I'm giving up this time and this food because I want you to move in this place. I want you to move in my life. Maybe there's a dear family member or a friend who's unsaved. Why don't you fast for them? Why don't you fast just for your family? You see, I don't know why and how God moves that way, but it's when we act upon His Word and become doers of the Word. It activates the spiritual. So church, I'm asking you, consider not only being a hearer, but a doer of the Word. We've heard it and heard it and heard it. It's time to step up and be what He's called us to be and do what He's called us to do. Because church, I want something fabulous to happen in His church. When I heard these two testimonies of God saving the one and God in the process of saving the other, church, I'm telling you, God wants to save your family. God wants to save your friends. And He's big enough to do it. But who's telling them that He's big enough? Is some of you not doing it because you've been labeled? You're not strong enough, and the enemy has lied to you and said you're not brave enough. You're fearful. And church, it's time to get rid of the labels of the past. You've been called an ambassador of God. one of the highest ranking positions here on earth, an ambassador from heaven. That's who you are. In church, we need to hear what God has called us, but we got to grow into it. I wish I was everything. I know you were joking when you said 20 years old, we know everything. I feel like I know nothing. You don't know every week that I have to get up here and I've got to share some truth with you. And I'm like, Lord, I know nothing. I'm still, everything I preach, I'm like, God, I'm growing in this. How am I supposed to do it? Other than it is my call. And I not only hear it, but I put it into action. And church, I'm calling you to do the same. Why? Because we are the beloved. We are the redeemed. And let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So church, we can do this, but these labels that have held us bound, maybe kept us and deterred us from what God wants to do in our life, no longer have to be there. In fact, I'm going to ask you this morning, if you're bold enough and brave enough, and I don't want fear to hold you back. I don't want position in the church. I don't want anybody to know what's going on in my life. We're family. We pray for one another. We lift each other up. We build each other up. We edify one another. We don't judge because we don't look at it from a human perspective. Do we, church? We don't put labels on people from a human perspective. We're here to grow each other. And if you're ready to break past the labels of the past in your life, I'm going to ask you to stand up and get and come forward. Say, I'm done with the labels of the past, and I'm going to let God break through all of those, and I'm going to step forward and say, I'm going to be different. I'm going to be who God's called me to be. Is there anybody this morning? It's kind of a different altar call. I had several in the first service, but it's like, don't hold back. If that's you, get up. The labels that have been there. There's no judgment here, but I'm telling you what, you get up, something happens in your heart and your life because you begin to say, God, there's more. We'll begin to hear God. Amen. It's got to be you have to understand this. I'm not asking you just to all come forward. I'm asking there's something that's been holding you back, some label, some people have called you, or something maybe you even labeled yourself. And it's time to say no longer. You are God's child. I look at all of you this morning, and I know most of you. I don't know what it is in your life, but no longer. We're getting past our past. If we're going to grow into the purpose, into the name, and into the future that God has for us. He has something so dynamic for you because you're taking a step forward. If Abraham would have never stepped out and gone where he didn't even know where he was going, he would have never gotten there. But he did. If Paul, he blinded and all of that, would have said, it's still silliness, it's foolishness, but he didn't. He started listening to a voice that led him. Peter, I messed up. I'll never, ever be used of God. I denied Jesus. When the very moment I should have stood up and said, yes, I know him, could have all been over. But Peter heard about a tomb that was open. And he had to check it out for himself. And then he had a great encounter with the Savior. And God used him in a powerful way to start the church. The reason we're here today is because the Holy Spirit fell out and began to fill the church and began to use the church. And church, we exist today because of the Holy Spirit and his work in the lives of people who say, I have a new name, new purpose, and a new future. And it's yours. So today I want to pray for you specifically. If you want to receive it out there in the seats, you can. And I pray that everybody in here is past the labels of the past. And next 3 weeks, we're going to keep dealing with this stuff because there's stuff that haunts the church. And let me tell you, there's a spiritual warfare. And we can break through it. because my God is stronger. Amen. Heavenly Father, for those who got on their feet today and recognized something in their life that has labeled them in a negative way, whether it's themselves or others, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would bestow upon them a new name today. They are a son and a daughter of the Most High. God, that a new purpose, what purposes may have been thwarted because of the label, I pray in the name of Jesus that now they become fishers of men, fishers of people. Lord, that they become those who speak life and not death. And Lord, I pray for their future. Just like you did with Rahab, nobody would have ever believed it. But God, you have a future for their children and their grandchildren. So God, I pray in the name of Jesus that, Lord, in this moment, that label is broken. You are setting them free. Lord, help them grow into their new name. Help them grow into the new purpose. Help them grow into their future. Because God, you have established it for us. And we receive it by faith today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can you say amen? So church, let's do it. And I'm asking all of us. But listen, this year, this church will become what it becomes because of this church. Not because of a pastor, not because of a staff, not because of music. It'll become what it becomes because of who you are. And I'm asking us to be the ambassadors of God this year. I'm asking us to step up to the new name and the new purpose and the future that God has for this church. I appreciate the past. And even when I came, almost 9.5 years ago when I came here, there were some labels upon this church. I declare today they are broken in Jesus' name. Those labels do not dictate who we're going to be. We are under the banner of the Lord. We are His people. And we're going to do what He has called us to do. Amen? I want us to lift a song in benediction today. I'm going to pray and then we're going to lift this song and you can go home. It's one that we sang a little bit earlier, and I want to start with the first verse of it, then break into the chorus, and then we'll be done and you can go. But it's, today is the day. Today is the day. The Lord made it and He wants to do something incredible in your lives from this day forward. No labels, no past, future. Amen. Heavenly Father, be with us, strengthen your church, help us to be who you've called us to be. Lord, give us a Jesus-filled week in everything we do and say for your glory. Amen.